Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Look at somebody and say, we're learning how to live supernatural lifestyle. We're learning how to do this and we're going to get it. He hasn't changed it. He hasn't taken back any of its spirit. His anointing's still there. The word is still there. The word still works. The problem's not the word of God. The problem's not the Holy Ghost. The problem's not God. The problem's not Jesus. Come on and say, where is the problem? We've got to find a way to get the anointing through. So something's got to give. And I guarantee it's going to be us. Well, how do you change? You keep reading the word. You keep studying the Bible. If it's not working, read it again. Not working, read it again. Not working, read it again. Read it until something changes in you. Amen. It's not the truth that you know that sets you free. It's the truth that you know and apply to your life. Amen. That will set you free. But you've got to have a mindset that I'm going to go on with God. No matter who goes on, I'm going all the way. Amen. Don't pace yourself with others. Pace yourself with the Spirit of God. We can learn some things. We should expect a whole lot more. Now, about spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Nobody can say Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Say that one more time. Nobody can say Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Not everybody can say Jesus is Lord. It takes the Holy Ghost to have us say that. But can I tell you what? Not everybody can have a lifestyle that says Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. There are a whole lot of people that can say things with their mouth. But as far as walking that thing out, it cannot be done but by the Holy Ghost. What Jesus said we should be, who he says we are, guess what? That is a miracle. Do you know that Christianity is a miracle? You can't do that thing in your flesh. You can't practice it. You can't perform it in your own being. It's got to be by the Holy Ghost. And if you want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, we talked about it this morning, how there are a lot of people that can't say Jesus is Lord, that Jesus can't get through them. They cannot make that confession. We want to compromise Christianity. You know, we debate Jesus. You know, a lot of people can call him Jesus, but can they call him Lord? There's a big difference to where he's the big man in your life, that he's the boss in your life, to where you believe what he says is true and you just do it because he is Lord. In order to make Jesus Lord of your life, you need to have some supernatural faith. What do you mean? Oh, he's Lord. No, that a lot of people say him being Lord just means that he's God. Of course he's God. He's God whether you believe it or not. Do you know that? He is God whether you believe that or not. But is he the Lord of your life? How many of you have been led by the Holy Ghost? And you've been led by the Spirit and you obey the Spirit of God, or does he got to talk you into stuff all the time? If he's Lord, you don't have to be talked into everything. He's Lord. And it takes the Holy Ghost to cause you to live in that lifestyle. It's going to take the Holy Ghost to walk over you to cause you to become the obedient person that God wants you to become. Amen. Notice that Paul said as we studied this morning, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He said that. Or who empowers me? You can't do anything unless you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. You'll give out. Sooner or later, your flesh will say, hang it up. That's enough. I quit. But the Spirit of God within you will always keep causing you to keep going just another day. Another step. One more hug. One more I love you, brother. When you say, I'm not going to reach out to love another one, you say, hey, look, I'm going to do it one more time. It cannot be done by the Holy Ghost. And I'm here to let you know that you might think you're doing a whole lot of stuff right now and everything's just peachy keen. God wants more. Because God can do more. Don't you think that you're going to be sitting like this by the end of the year and everything's going to be peachy keen. We're not supposed to stop until we're walking, talking, looking, doing the works of Jesus Christ. He wants to completely take over. He doesn't just get to a resting point in us. He wants to complete. He wants more. He wants to flow through you more. We will grow from glory to glory to glory. There is no arriving. You can't find him out. There's always a deeper depth in Jesus Christ. Throughout all eternity, you'll be growing into the image of God. Isn't that amazing? And throughout all eternity, you'll always be growing. You'll always be learning. You'll always be picking stuff up. And in order to walk out this thing, you need the Holy Ghost to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Anybody know something about Holy Ghost people? They'll do anything. They'll step out in faith where nobody else will at times. Why are you doing that? I felt led by the Spirit of God and the Holy Ghost. You know, in the book of Acts, several times it would say in the Bible, them being led by the Holy Ghost went there, or them being led by the Holy Ghost went over here. There is a leading of the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants to become active in our lives on a daily basis by the Holy Ghost. And you will not allow, Jesus will not become the Lord of your life until you get into fellowship with the Holy Ghost and start to obey that Spirit. Amen. Somebody say, Lord. Say it again, Lord. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of services, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. For what? To show off? For what? To split churches? For what? To make you look good? For what? To boost your ego? To do what? For the common good. There's a manifestation of the Holy Ghost on the inside of me for the common good. Notice that we were talking about that kind of this morning when we said this morning that what are you living for? And usually what you live for will be what you're dying in. No greater love of any man than this, than he would lay down his life for a friend. Well, I want you to know that you're going to find out that you are put on this earth for the common good of all. That the life that you once had, you don't have that life anymore. You've got new life in Jesus Christ. Amen. And the life of Christ has a mission on it. It's just Christianity. And the mission on the life of Christ is the common. It said, peace on earth, goodwill toward who? Men. When it was prophesied that he would come, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Don't you know that same anointing is on the inside of you? And you're going to find out you're looking for meaning in life, significance in life. And what many people are thinking, what can I get? What can I get? What can I do to make myself feel better? How can I feel more important? How can I look better than the next guy? Let me tell you what life is all about as you're a believer. It's for the common good of all. It's the manifestation of the Spirit. That's all we live for, is to manifest the Spirit of God. And when we truly manifest the Spirit of God, guess what? Somebody else's life is going to get better. What an assignment, huh? What an assignment. What is assignment? Somebody say, I'm called to be a blessing. You ever met people that you just get around them and so slowly but surely, things will get better. I mean, you might be down and you get around a true saint, I tell you what, things are going to get better. If you're believing people get around you, things shouldn't get worse, they should get better. I mean, because of the manifestation of the Spirit of God on the inside of you. We used to tell people, you ought to look at people and say, hey, you're about to get blessed because I just showed up. Why? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to everybody. I've got a manifestation on the inside of me. Do you know that? You're just a vessel of the manifestation of God. So to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit. That means to each one is given a grace of God. Each one is given a supernatural gift. Who's lying? The Bible? Could it be that the Bible knows something that you don't? Get this on the inside of you, that there is a supernatural, powerful grace, an anointing and a grace from God, a supernatural power on the inside of you that's living and active, that is meant to be for the common good of all. And we're going to learn how to release that Spirit. We're going to learn to release God from us, the goodness of God out of us, to become a vessel of the goodness of God. And all you want to live your life out is, what do you want? You know what life becomes at that point? You know, it'll get to the point to where you trust in God and you stop wasting your life trying to make things better for yourself. and you leave that up to God, and you just do what the Word of God tells you to do, and He'll bless you. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Once you get delivered from all of that stuff, you can get blessed to the point to where you can trust God. And then you will get to the point to where your life, that each one should not seek his own stuff, but the needs of others. Then you realize that I've got a mission here on the earth. I've got a goal here on the earth. I'm going to get up tomorrow morning. I'm not getting up for myself. Glory to God. I'm dead. I'm not waking up tomorrow for myself. What do I need next week for? What is next week? What do I need next week for? I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning because somebody needs the Spirit of God that abides on the inside of me. Why do we have Nations Church? Because somebody needs the anointing of the Holy Ghost that abides on the inside of us believers. That's the reason why you got up this morning. You didn't get up this morning just to live and breathe and take up air and take up space. You got up this morning because somewhere somebody needs the Spirit of God that abides on the inside of you. And as soon as you come to that realization, you'll start to find significance in life. Significance in life. Hope again. I guarantee you every day there's an opportunity to display the nature of God, the character of God, the ministry of God. Every day there's a reason to live. You can find hope. You can find peace. Don't ever let that devil get you down. They used to say in the Salvation Army, you know, they didn't get to choose where they got to go. Oh, no, they told you where you served in the Salvation Army. You could get papers and say, hey, you're going to be in Baltimore next week. Then you can go from Baltimore to Guam. See, we can't be sent anywhere. We're in control. Nobody can ever make demand on us. We're going to do what we want to do, how we want to do it. And I would say, you better not go there. You better pray for yourself and see where God wants you to go. And that brother turned around and looked me in my face and he said, let me tell you one. Man can't put me where God can't use me. Man can't put me where God can't use me. I'm here to tell you that even the devil can't get you in circumstances or in situations that God can't use you in. I want you to know that stuff that you're dealing with right now, the circumstance you're in, you're set up to be used by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Do you think I'm going to start being used by God when everything works just the way I want it to work? You are not guaranteed tomorrow. We have to be faithful today. I'm going to be faithful in the little spiritual gifts. What are you living for? To manifest the presence of God. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. I want to be fruitful and abundant. See, that's where we need to get people that are finding their purpose in life. You can be anointed. Actually, not can be anointed, but the Bible says you are anointed. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you're going to find a way to let the Spirit of God flow through you. Somebody say gifts. To one there is given through the Spirit of the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous power, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he gives to them each one as he determines. There's that stuff in here tonight. See, but we're so quick to let out all the other stuff that we got. See, we don't want to release the Spirit of God on the inside of us. We're not too quick. See, because you got to be spiritually in tune to do that. You've got to be spiritually in tune to look at opportunities. Ministry opportunities. You got to be like Jesus. You got to feel when someone's pulling on the life of God on the inside of you and be quick to respond. When Jesus was walking and everybody was touching Jesus, you know, you get people that touch your life every day. You get people that touch your life on your job. There are people that are touching your life. But every once in a while, someone will touch your life and you'll sense virtue is coming out of you. And you got to learn to discern the divine flow of God and be open to minister in that flow. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. Well, so it is with the anointing. So it is with the greatest anointing ever. So it is with the anointing. As the body is made up of many parts, it all comes together to form one thing. How many want the anointing of Jesus Christ, the yoke destroying, burden removing, anointing of the power of God? Well, how will that happen? Bring that body back together again. You see, the devil doesn't want Jesus to come back together again. And he'll do whatever he can to keep you apart. Why does he want sisters and brothers to get along? Why does he want to keep y'all in strife and keep y'all mad at each other and caught up on stupid stuff? Why? He does because he knows when you come together, he's got Jesus to deal with. He's got Jesus to deal with. He doesn't want them two ministries to come together. He doesn't want that arm on a, he doesn't want that hand on an arm and all, that arm on a shoulder. Why? He's got problems. But as long as we're disfractioned and separated, we're no problem. But you let people get together. You let the body of Christ come together in this final age. The devil has got a problem. But the work is not to push out the anointing. See, that's the problem with a lot of people. See, a lot of people are focusing on the anointing, the anointing, the anointing, the anointing. All we need, more Jesus, more Jesus, more Jesus. No, all we need is to get together. Then we'll get Jesus. Because Jesus is already there, but he needs to be put back together again. What an assignment. What a responsibility. So I say, you got to be crazy. God needing us to come back again. God needing us to flow through. Well, look at Mary. He used one woman, and that one woman carried God. One woman carried God. Now, if one woman can carry God within her vessel, within her person, don't you think it's not hard for God to put himself in a body called a church? Amen. You might not like it that way, but that's the way he put it together. We're not going to rewrite the book. We're not going to rewrite the book. Before he comes in the fullness of his power in the sky, do you hear me? He will come in the fullness of his power through the living church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you know that's going to be the manifestation in this next realm, in this next wave of the Spirit? It's the body of Christ coming together again, and ain't nobody shaking about it but the devil. Jesus knew what it was all about. Why do you think he kept talking about love and kept teaching on love and kept teaching on love? Because he knew it was love that was going to pull his body together. God says, you work on the love and I'll work on the power. The body. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we all are given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged. He's arranged it that way. But in fact, God has arranged that the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be, or as just as he wanted them to be, if they were all one part, where would the body be? It is as it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. I tell you what we do need. We need Jesus. And how am I going to get Jesus? Everybody getting their little stuff together. I've learned, you know, you can talk to Crystal and Jesse today. You can be the pastor. And as a pastor, you can't say to the least one of the sheep or the least one of your congregants, anyway, hey, I don't need you. Oh, yes, I do. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Everybody's got a gift. Everybody's got a purpose. Everybody's got significance. You know, you can't allow stuff just to be broken and disfractioned and expect it all to be okay. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less are what we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that it lack, so that there should be no divisions in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffereth, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. and in the church God has appointed. What are we preaching on? What are we teaching on? We're teaching on church. We don't want ordinary church. Guess what? God doesn't want ordinary church. God is out for extraordinary church. When nothing happens, something's wrong. When nothing happens, something's wrong. God has appointed, first of all, apostles. Don't you know there is an apostolic anointing? Whenever God's ready to do something, he always takes us back there. He always reminds us of his structure. Thank God that we know about the apostolic ministry. They can hear God. They can get a vision from the Holy Ghost and see that thing come to fruition. They can discern parts of the body and say, hey, you look like a toenail. They can see certain things. They can put it together. They got a vision. It's on the inside of them. See, God says, I want to do something in an area. He'll find himself an apostle someplace and put that vision on the inside of them, along with some type of supernatural ministry that would do some stuff to let people's faith arise to believe in it. Let me tell you about the apostolic ministry. God says he sends out first the apostle, and what he does with that apostle, there are certain things that need to happen in apostolic ministry. And you have had, I don't care, you might go look around town. Go around the country. You have had apostolic ministry in your midst. When you see supernatural signs and wonders, that's evidence of an apostolic ministry. When you see supernatural joy flowing, joy unspeakable and full of glory, when you've been touched by the power of God, when you've seen the ways of God, when you've seen the cloud of glory, God has proven himself again and again. I am thoroughly convinced that there is an apostolic ministry. You got to know. You got to know. I mean, you don't want to develop confidence in some flesh. You better find out what you walking with. Anybody tooting their own horn? We're exalting Jesus. You don't need a man. You don't need a psychiatrist. You need the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. You need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. God didn't put you in a church that somebody just thought up. You're in something that God started in the heavenlies and planted in the heart of somebody and stuck out in faith and said, I'll obey your word, oh God. And God said, you go, and as you go, I'll send one from over here. They'll go with you. There'll be another one that'll go with you. You got to realize that you're in a thing that God started. If God started it, God will finish it. And just as much as I'm called, I want you to know by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, so also are you called. Every last one of you, handpicked by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost to do a specific work and to get God's will accomplished. I wanted you to know that there's a spirit on the inside of us. There's a spirit on the inside of us. There is power on the inside. It's not an idea. It's not a thought. It's an anointing. Amen. It's a vision. See, we got to get down to the nitty gritty of it. You got to get down to the nitty gritty. You got to dig and say, hey, I need something better than that. What is it based on? Is it musical talent? You got to throw that away. That way Prince could be a preacher. You got to throw that away. Is it money? You got to throw that away. That means Bill Gates could do it. What's the bottom line of it? It's the word of God. It's what God said. It's the will of God, because that's the anointing. And you got to look beyond the preacher. You got to look beyond the prophet. You got to look beyond the vessel that God is using to the spirit that's behind us. Unless it's built on what? Jesus. They all labor in vain. I mean, I'm going to tell you straight up, you should be through. Amen. But you got to get through things down to the spirit of it. First, apostles. Second, prophets. What is he saying a prophet for? We can expect prophetic ministries. Some prophesy, some tell the truth. But you know what a prophet will do? They're not going to give you a new destiny. They're just going to confirm what God's already spoken on the inside of your heart. Amen. He'll confirm it. He'll confirm it. He'll confirm what God wants to do. There are still prophets in the earth today. Jesus has not left us here by ourselves. He is not mute. He has not turned his back on us. We are not in a dysfunctional family where we just walk through the house together. We see Jesus and there he goes. He talks to us. He walks with us. He lets us know what he wants to do. Jesus wants to be active in our midst. We should believe God for more. Not less, more. We need to believe God for an upgrade of the prophetic ministry. Not less of it, but an upgrade of it. And there are also teachers. Because we'd be in a rough shape if we just had a bunch of apostles and prophets and no teachers. That's a nightmare. I'm going to tell you that's a nightmare. There's nothing more of a nightmare than uninstructed saints. Why did Jesus use the disciples and the apostles? He instructed them for 3 years. He discipled them. He groomed them. He got them. There's some things you do and there's some things you don't do. If there wasn't some things you had to learn, he wouldn't have given us teachers. How many are glad that God sends a teaching anointing through to tell us something so we're not stumbling in the dark forever? How many want to know about powers and anointings? How will that stuff come? God will come and he'll tell you about it. The prophet will come and say, hey, there's grace and there's power out there for you. There's grace and there's power out there for you. See, God will send it through the apostolic ministry. Did you know that? They'll come and give that grace. Prophet will come and speak over that thing. Then the teacher will come along and teach you how to use it. Teach you how to use it. See, some of you got great anointing. Some of you got great power. You just don't know what you're doing with it. Don't let ignorance stop you. And if you believe in what God's got you, you should believe it enough to learn about it. And use it with precision. Skillful. You believe you're called to minister and you start studying. That doesn't mean you got to go to Bible school. But that believes you do need to get up under something. No better time to start than now if it's available to you. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't put off till tomorrow to do what you should do today. You can learn if you want to learn. You can learn and you can become effective if you want to become elective. Study to show thyself approved. Study to show yourself approved. Why do you think certain waves and certain graces go out? Certain ministries we've lost. Why? Because preachers and apostles would come and they'd start flowing in a new wave of God's grace. And then 5 years down the road, we don't see that anymore. Why? A whole bunch of people jumped on the bandwagon without studying to show themselves to prove. Amen. You got to apprentice in some anointings. The great prophet Isaiah, he studied. Elijah and Elisha studied and walked in that ministry, apprenticed in that ministry. It's amazing. People go to McDonald's. To work at McDonald's, they won't let you touch their chicken fry machine. They won't let you touch the French fry machine until you read a book. But we're going to come and rearrange people's lives in the ministry because we've seen a flashing light in the bathroom. It's the truth. Uh-huh. And they won't let you flip fries, flip burgers in a restaurant someplace. But people come in the church, and just because they can speak in tongues, they think they can flip people's lives up and down. That's not God's heart. You got to have a license to flip burgers today. On McDonald's. But we come in here, we're going to turn the church upside down, turn the world upside down, have so much mess. Anybody seen it before? 7 years down the road, still ain't doing nothing. Been run through 8 churches, and about 4 of them still left. And by that time, you just got so spiritual that you believe in that you're the only thing on the face there. You can't stand the study, you're not going to be able to stand the ministry. You ain't proving yourself to nobody. And it doesn't have anything to do with it. Can't nobody hold you back when God wants to use you anyhow? That's another thing. Somebody say, oh, they just don't want my ministry to shine forth. Amen. Who can stop God from shining forth in you? I mean, if it's in you, can't nobody stop it. People going, I mean, you could be sweeping the floors. They'll know you're anointed. Can't nobody hold you down when God's in you? When the anointing of God, who going to stop Jesus? I mean, they couldn't hold Jesus in the ground dead. And some preacher going to hold you from your ministry? Get over it. If you believe in God, you should believe that much. If they put Joseph in the ground, Joseph was in the ground, they put him in a hole and sent him off to Egypt as a slave, trying to put him down because he had a call on his life. When the time came, God put him where he needed to go. I'm going to tell you right now, if you've got it, God will use it. You just hang on in there. Nobody can hold you down. Sit up under there and watch God plant you. Watch him groom you. I'm going to tell you what, this is not a house that's trying to hold you back. We're ready to kick you out there and get out there and do the things of God. Amen. But make sure you're doing the things of God. And every once in a while, people need to know, hey, you're doing something. And most of the time is, what are you doing? One of the other things is, you know, most people say, God called me to do this. God called me to do that. I don't believe none of it. I believe what I see. And I believe by faith. But when it comes to that, you know a tree by the fruit it bears. Amen. Your ministry is based on what you're producing. Then teachers and workers of miracles. Also those having gifts of healing. Workers of miracles. See, there are a lot of people who want to be workers of miracles. And really, the only thing you really need to work is a vacuum cleaner. Why don't you start with some of that work on the vacuum cleaner? I mean, how are you going to work a miracle when you just can't work, period? You got to start someplace. Can't clean a coffee cup, but you're going to work miracles. I mean, those that will work miracles work, period. Whatever needs to be done, they can get it done. But so often, people want to skip the things they can do. They go off in something stupid that nobody need done at the moment. Many of the things you see is not the result of somebody making the sky turn red.
just somebody getting up out of bed and showing up for work. We're still waiting on somebody to split the water. The Woodlands would have been in rough shape. If it took us to wait for some miracle to happen before Nations Church got rolling, we would have been in some sad shape. I better do what I can do when I can do it and leave the miracle to Jesus. If I say I don't believe in miracles, I do believe in miracles. Amen. But I'm going to do what I can do on a daily basis as I'm waiting on my miracles. Miracles will only come when you get to a spot to where there's no other alternative other than that. But God's not going to give you a miracle to do something that you can just walk it out. I got a daily anointing. You walk close with Jesus, you won't need him. How many miracles did the disciples need? After they got with Jesus, how many times did he heal those disciples? His disciples, those 12. How many times did they get healed? I mean, how many times did he have to raise those disciples from the dead? No, they just stayed close to Jesus. Those that needed the miracles are those that were coming out of the mess. In order for you to have a miracle, you got to mess something up. I'd rather just go on and live with Jesus, stay out of trouble, other than every 15 minutes trying to bail ourselves out with a miracle. So workers of miracles. But you're not going to get a worker of a miracle until you get a what? A worker. Workers of miracles and those having gifts of healing. Somebody say gifts. Yes. Of healing. Didn't say just healers. Said those having gifts of healing. Do you know there are wounded people all over the place? There, see, many churches you go to, instead of them having healers, they have afflictors. You're guaranteed to get wounded, but Lord, will you not get healed? But don't you know that there are gifts of healing? And many people are so stuck on, if they can't heal cancer, they don't have that healing ministry. But don't you know there are gifts, there are emotional healers out there? Don't you know there are financial healers out there? Don't you know there are job healers out there, family healers out there, social healers out there, people that can take something wrong? Help make it right. Heal it. Do you know there are certain people that are sick in sin? They're in habitual habits. Sin is a sickness. Did you know that? And I said, heal the sin-sick soul. There's a balm in Gilead. There are healers out there. And you have a remedy to somebody's sickness. I want you to know. Do you have a healing on the inside of you? You might not be able to get it all healed, but I guarantee there's something you can heal. Somebody said, now I don't believe in partial healings. You know, if you can heal this, you can heal it all. Well, that's nice, but I'm going to pray for what I pray for, and I know what works. You might have special graces in certain areas where different healings are easier for you. Different healings are easier for you. There are gifts of healing and different types of healing, and you might have special faith to one particular healing. Go on for that healing. What's the best way? If you got it done, that's probably your track record. If you're flu fever, go on with flu stuff. But you know what I believe? I believe when you're prayed for. You got the faith for that thing. When you're prayed for, you go and receive it, you got it. Getting the thing healed is one thing. Keeping that thing healed. Keep your healing. Keep your healing. What did it take? Whatever it took you to get it, keep it going. See, a lot of people get healed and then want to take that healing out in the world. It don't work. You know, you tell God, I want to be healed so I can hear your word and hear and just worship you. You get that healing and you start hearing everything else but God. Hearing the club. God's not going to bless you to go do all that stuff. Whatever God does for you, he does it so that you might worship him. He's not going to fix you up and hook you up to live any kind of way you want to. When he heals you, he's healing it so he can use it. God's not going to bless you to live after yourself. When God blesses you, he's blessing himself because actually he is. All right. And to those, and to prophets and workers of miracles and those who have gifts of healing, those able to help others. There is a helps ministry. Do you know that? We've got to speak these things because if we don't preach these things, we won't get these things. But there is a helps ministry. Do you know there is a ministry of people that are anointed of God to help others? Yeah. Helps ministry is a powerful ministry. You know that when people got to do certain things, it's not, if it's a problem, it's not your ministry. But there are certain people that are released. And those of you that don't have that, don't discourage other people that do. You mind your business. You see, some people might be motivated. They are called to help, and that's Jesus on the inside of them. That's the grace of God on the inside of them, motivating them to go and be a help. They're trying to live. And just because you're lazy, don't want to do anything, you think that somebody else can be like Jesus. Come on. You got a problem. And if you got a helps ministry, don't get mad at everybody else because they don't have one. If you're motivated to go help somebody move, you go help somebody move. And don't call somebody else a devil because they're not there. They didn't tell you to prophesy. And they didn't get mad because when you were prophesying, you didn't get mad at them because they didn't start prophesying. Each man has his own gift. You don't give gifts. The Holy Ghost does.
And don't blame it on nobody. And that doesn't mean just you're not supposed to help out sometime because you ain't motivated by the Holy Ghost. You know, that you got flunkies, you know. Well, leave that to the helps ministry. Your gift is not being a queen or a king sitting around like you're God. Each person's got their gift. See, you are a prophet. You don't mess with God's anointing. When people are anointed of God to do something, you better not mess with them. You better not mess with them. And so you got to realize that God has many anointings, and many people think it's just the preacher. It's just the preacher that's anointed. I tell you what, they're anointed by the Holy Ghost, and don't you touch it. How do you touch it? Start complaining about what they do. You better encourage them. They're anointed by the Holy Ghost to do that. You'll offend Jesus. That's Jesus. When people are anointed by the Holy Ghost, don't you know we can tell the difference? You can tell the difference when someone does something under the anointing and when someone doesn't do anything under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The anointing is just doesn't just operate when you got a microphone. There's an anointing to give. And those with gifts of administration, administrative gifts. There are administrative gifts. Let me tell you something. If you don't have your own stuff administrated, you don't have an administrative gift.
Amen.
There are some people, their stuff is all messed up, but they're trying to work out everybody else's stuff. There are administrative gifts. There are certain people that can organize this and organize that and get all that stuff together quickly. And it's going to be, and they're anointed of God to do that. Flow with that if that's your gift. There are gifts of administration and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. There are different kinds of tongues. Do you know that? There are gifts of tongues. There are gifts of tongues. Different people that are able to go beyond, that are able to relate to different cultures. Also to speak in different language. Now listen, I doubt it very, if you are a racist, I doubt you have the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues reaches a bunch of diverse people. If you can't relate to a bunch of people different than yourself, you probably don't have the gift of tongues. How would the gift of tongues be manifest in this room tonight? I'm a black man, and if all I could deal with is black people, just like myself, that wouldn't be the gift of tongues and manifestation, but I should be able to deal with you too. And maybe I couldn't deal with him, but you know there's an anointing from the Holy Ghost that'll put me where this brother is to where we can relate. So when I'm with my brother over here, brother, I'm an Indian. Yeah, I can relate to that person. There's an anointing that will allow me to do that. There are gifts. There are gifts. There are gifts. So you can't just go up to people and get all crazy and be stuck in your culture. See, there are some people that need to learn to speak something else than Pentecost.
Amen. Hallelujah, sister. We welcome you here today. Woo! Shalom.
She can't hear a word you're saying.
Amen.
You got to have a real gift of tongues. You know, you might be the gift of tongues. I hope you enjoyed the service today. Please come back again. These people are a trip, aren't they? Weren't they wild? I used to think they were crazy too. Gift of tongues. Able to speak to them and relate to them and make them feel comfortable. Able to get the message of God across to them the best way you can. So you better learn to speak some different languages. Gift of tongues, just not all the time, everywhere you turn around. Blah, blah, blah. But thank God for it. Sometimes God does move with angelic tongues.
Amen.
Sometimes messages from heaven where the angels speak. Sometimes they do speak that way. But there's a greater gift. There are other gifts of tongues as well. People that can relate to people. When people come in and we see somebody, nobody can relate to that person. If there's nobody in here that can relate to that person, I pray that God would bless somebody with the gift of tongues.
Amen.
And people don't realize they'll go to them in the coffee bar and I say, God, give them the gift of tongues. What? The gift of tongues that they're able to communicate the gospel and communicate love to them in one way or the other. See, some of you might have some of these gifts and don't even know it because you don't flow in it. Thank God for the gift of tongues. Yeah, I can speak it all. Can you? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And so should you. You better be willing to cross over and get some people saved. Don't expect anybody to speak your language before you can get them there. So the gift of tongues, and it says this, are all apostles? Is everybody an apostle? No. Are all prophets? Do all have gifts of healing?
No.
Do all speak in tongues? All do have the gift, the ability to pray in the Holy Ghost, but not everybody has the gift of tongues. Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I show you the most
excellent ways. And the most excellent way is love. Why is love the most excellent way? How does it conquer all? Because if you got love, you got all the gifts. Not individually. Listen. See, and that's why many people get off. They think, if I can just be a loving person, I don't need the gifts. No, they said a more excellent way, that if you start to love, the body of Christ will start to get along better. And as the body of Christ gets along better, because you're walking in love, guess what? All the gifts will be in manifestation because you'll have the fullness of Christ. The best of it all is the corporate anointing. And you can't get a corporate anointing until you decide to stay in love. And when you got the corporate anointing, you got the fullness of the ministry of Christ in manifestation. That's why love is the most excellent way. Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of dry bones, and caused me to pass round them about. And behold, there were many. Behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these dry bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these dry bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these dry bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I'm talking to the church, you hear me? And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skins, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, as I commanded, as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the winds. There is a wind of God. There is a wind of God. There is a wind of God. Now we prophesied and we've spoken unto the body to come together. Amen. Then after the body comes together, the body of Christ gets their stuff together and they come together in the love of God. Then we'll be able to prophesy to the wind. Then you'll prophesy to the wind. You can't prophesy to the wind until you prophesy to the body first. And prophesy unto the wind, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these dry bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dry, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves. Somebody saying, Here we are right now. Here we are right now. And shall put my spirit in you. And shall put my spirit in you. And you will live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I am the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. Thus saith the Lord. No one can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. He starts it with that, by the Holy Ghost. No one can confess Jesus as Lord. Confess Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And then he closes it in Ezekiel chapter 37 and saying, I will put my spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, in you.